unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our risen Redeemer and ever-living Lord, dear fellow redeemed, can you be numbered with the people who are considered to be wise, intelligent, and well-educated, and still be a Christian? Some people would answer yes to that question, and others would answer no. Today, as we observe the festival of the Epiphany, let's learn from God's Word and learn from the wise people's example given to us in Holy Scripture, the wise men who came to Bethlehem in order to worship the newborn king. Following their example, pray God for a new direction. Our text is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 7 through 12, part of the Gospel lesson that was read to you a short time ago. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Today we are observing the festival of the Epiphany. Epiphany means manifested. On the ancient church calendar, Epiphany was dated as being January 6th. On this Epiphany day, when we are observing and remembering the manifestation of God, we want to remember that God is the God who makes promises and who fills and keeps his promises for both body and soul. January 6th is often referred to as being the Christmas of the Gentiles, for it is believed that these wise men who came all the way from the east were not Jewish people. We're told in our text that they inquired, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Through a special star, God manifested to those wise men from the east that he had fulfilled his promise and sent the Savior into the world, called King of the Jews. What God did for those wise men, he also wants to do for us. He wants to open our eyes spiritually. He wants to make known to us that he is the one true God, that he is good, and he makes promises and fulfills them for the sake of his people. We pray that God would direct us to the truths revealed in our text, and that he would also direct us to the real meaning of those particular truths as they are revealed in Holy Scripture. With reference to what is revealed in our text, we can ask all kinds of questions about the things we are not told. Now, many people imagine all kinds of things when they read Holy Scripture, and they often make that mistake of reading into the text what isn't there. And then on the basis of what they themselves think, they claim that they are expressing the Word of God. With reference to our text, people ask many questions. how many wise men really were there. Were they really rich? Were they kings? As we sing in that ancient carol, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." From what country did they really come? They came from the east. How far had they really traveled, and how long had they traveled? And had they arrived indeed by January the 6th? Many Christmas cards portray the wise men coming to Bethlehem and worshiping Jesus in the manger. That, of course, is not accurate. They didn't come to Bethlehem to the manger where Jesus was born. In our text, we're told that they came to the house where the young child was with his mother. And, of course, in the original Greek text, different words are used. For example, the shepherds came to Bethlehem and worshipped the baby Jesus. When the wise men came, they came to the house and they worshipped the young child. He was no longer just a baby. They were wise because they came from the east, which could have been a considerable distance, far, far away from Bethlehem. And we're not given to all of the details that they received with reference to that star in the east. One thing was clear. They came at God's direction, and they came to worship the newborn king. And that, of course, is always the wise thing to do. Listen to the Lord, and then follow his directions. People often boast and brag about how learned and how wise we are in our generation, or how learned and wise we think we are. Yet, so often we show our lack of learning and our lack of wisdom by doing some of the dumbest things, to put it in layman's language. For example, it's amusing to read and to listen to all of these learned, educated people who talk about the climate, which is in God's hands. It was from the beginning, and it will always be in God's hands. For we are clearly told in Scripture, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That is all in God's hands. From the wise men, we should learn that in spiritual matters, we should listen only to God's directives. With all of our human wisdom and understanding, we can't save a single soul. Souls are saved because we're told God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Souls are saved because they come into contact with God's Word, through which the Holy Spirit works and touches the heart and brings us to believe that we indeed are sinners, and that God has loved us and saved us, and we put our trust in his promises. The wise men listened to the instructions of Herod, but they didn't follow his instructions. King Herod called the wise men into his private chambers and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." Remember, Herod called these wise men in and determined very carefully, when did you see that star? How much time has passed? And he thought he had everything calculated mathematically. They listened to what Herod asked them to do. He says, "You go worship him and then come back and tell me. I want to worship him too." he was a liar. They listened, and then they left. The Bible doesn't tell us that the wise men knew King Herod for what he really was, namely a lying and a deceiving ruler. He was like many politicians throughout the world today. They lie almost every time they open their mouth. He pretended that he wanted to worship Christ, but really he had something else in mind. Herod was one of those ruthless rulers of that day, comparable to many ruthless rulers who are also in the world in our day. We see them everywhere throughout the world, and we have them also in our own country. Only God knows how many people today pretend, like Herod, to want to worship Christ. They really don't care about what the Bible says about Christ. They really don't care about what the Christian church teaches. But like Herod, they would like to play church, so to speak. They go through all of the right motions. They try to maintain some kind of connection to the church. It may not even be a Christian church. But their thought is, just as long as you believe in something, in some kind of a God, that's all that's important. After all, the church is a nice place to have a baby baptized. It's a nice place for a solemn wedding ceremony. And it's a nice place to come when you need comfort at the death of a loved one. Yes, that's what many people think the church exists for. And they want to use it, so to speak, and often only for free. But what is God's directives with reference to the church? Indeed, he wants you to be a member of the Christian church, numbered with all and only the believers in Christ as the Son of God and our only Savior. He wants us to find in him the only hope that we have for time and for eternity. He wants us to wise up spiritually and follow his word. The wise men really gave us a good example, or give us a good example, of what it means to be spiritually wise. We're told when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They found Jesus, for whom they had been seeking, and when they entered the house, were told they worshipped him. They didn't worship Mary, his mother, or Joseph, if he happened to be present, or anybody else who may have been present. Scripture is very clear as to whom we should worship. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. The wise thing to do is to worship the one true God only. There are people, unlike the wise men, who refuse to bow down before Jesus, but they bow down before the idol of human wisdom and understanding, which often is their own arrogance and foolishness. That is spiritually unwise. There are many today who don't want to have anything to do with the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, that's okay. But hush, hush. Don't talk about it publicly, at least not. The faith and hope of the wise men from the East was not merely a matter of the mouth. It was a matter of the heart. It was genuine. You've heard the old expression, put your money where your mouth is, or put your mouth where your money is. Yes, they followed that example, these wise men. They didn't only talk about worshiping, But then they opened their treasures and placed it all before the Son of God. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were among the most costliest products of that particular day. Those were gifts, as we would say, fit for a king. And that they presented to the Lord Jesus, who was the king of their hearts. We've just come through the Christmas season, and Christmas is the time of giving. Not because we made it that. God made it that. God gave his son. God made Christmas giving. And so we've given gifts. Gifts galore. We've given gifts to our spouses, our parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, and all kinds of friends and acquaintances far and near. But did we really give a gift for God? Many have given so many gifts to others, they have nothing left for the Lord, and of course, they'll be paying for all of those gifts for a long time. Many times when people talk about going a new direction, it amounts to only empty words. But for the wise men, they not only spoke about worship, but they demonstrated their love for the Lord, for fulfilling his promises and sending his son to be the Savior. Now, today, listen to people in the government and from all different political parties who speak like Herod. They really grant the need for a change, but that change is always supposed to be coming and taking place by somebody else. One is blaming the other one, and the fault is always with the other person. Listen to how many speak that way, not only in government, but also in the business and industry. Oh, there's a need for a change and for new direction, but it's always the other one. Listen to quarreling spouses, and there's a great need for a change, but it's always in the other spouse. That's where the change has to take place. Many fail to see and realize that in Christianity, there is to be a change in my own heart, seeing myself as a sinner and putting all of my faith and trust in the Son of God, whom the Father sent to be our Savior. The wise men were wise in this, that they followed divine directives. After they had worshipped, we're told, then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. God did for the wise men what was for their good and safety, and also for the safety of the king born in Bethlehem and now a young child. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know whether the wise men had made any promises to King Herod. The Bible doesn't refer to that. It simply states, when they heard what Herod said, then they went their way. Now, they had learned through the religious leaders that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, and now they were going to seek him. They followed God's directive. We ought to obey God rather than men. That's the word of the apostles, whom the religious leaders in their day were trying to silence. They said, no, we're not going to follow what you're saying. We ought to obey God rather than men. From those Eastern sages who came from the East, we also learn that it is a wide thing to heed the warnings of God. And he gives us warnings in his holy word. What a price people pay for ignoring the warnings that God has given in His Word. What a price people are paying today for all of the sexual perversion, the promiscuity, the use of drugs and drinking, one thing after another. They pay a horrible price, physically and also spiritually. Physically, often a ruined body, and spiritually, they lose their hope in their Lord and Savior. Only God knows what future price will be paid by children for the sins of parents in all of these things. There are many who follow blind leaders of the blind and who destroy not only their bodies, but also their souls. Today, we pray that God would give us a lot of new direction to follow in the new year 2017. Let's do what these wise men did. Let us seek Christ. And having found Him in God's holy word, let us worship Him. Let's follow that word of the Lord Jesus. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. And remember, when Jesus spoke those words, search the scriptures, they only had the Old Testament. And they were to find Christ in the Old Testament. And yes, we find the words about Jesus, the promised Savior, in one place after another throughout the whole Old Testament. In His Word we learn how much He loved us and that He sacrificed Himself for us on the altar of the cross at Calvary and delivered us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. With His holy, precious blood poured out on Calvary's cross, He washed our sins away, and so we stand before God as the forgiven children of the Heavenly Father, and we belong to God's family. Let us worship Him then as Lord and Savior. Let us show by our lives that we really believe what we have written here in His Word. That's the only wise thing to do. The only wise thing to do is to heed His Word, believe it, and live according to it. And He summarizes it all when He says, follow me. Lord, give us a new direction. A direction to your word. A direction to you as the only true God. A direction to the one who loves us so greatly that you sent your son to be our savior. Then we will be spiritually wide awake and we will show that we have faith and trust in the Word of God, and we will have new direction for 2017. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.